to the passage tonight in got the wrong passage there, okay? Was the whole outline okay? Okay, well, that's okay. Life happens, okay? Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. I'm not sure what happened to the outline. It was redone before. You can scratch out point one. You can scratch out point two. You can scratch out point three. You can scratch out 2 Timothy and replace that with 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, and you will be on the right page, all right? While you're doing all of that, crossing out, and let me just say that if you're like I am, you're going to have to revert to the square giving for the love offering tonight. That's available to you. Just heads up. If you want to give, you say, I didn't bring any money. I didn't know about the offering. Well, I knew about it coming, but I didn't bring any money, so I have to use my card tonight to get to that. So you can do that. To let you know, you can do that if you want to. If you want to put a $500 bill in the offering plate, that's fine. But if you want to use, okay, you didn't $500 bill in the offering plate. But anyhow, okay, I know. It's daylight savings time. You're all lucky to be awake right now. And you can go by the office afterwards. Use a square giving if you'd like to, and that would be fine. All righty. So tonight, by the way, I don't know if any of you know this. Does anybody know what this red thing in here? If you're like a teenager, you know what this red thing is here? Telephone, yes. Now, what do you think these things are for here? Anybody deal with those? Like one, two, three. What are those for, you think? Yes, you put your finger in there, and it goes around. It makes a wonderful sound, doesn't it? Okay? And the sound of yesterday. I thought I would just. Okay, we did have copies of them, but the other ones were handed out. Okay, so some of you may have the right copies. We don't know, but you have them. That's what you have, okay? So, sorry about that. Okay, anyhow, the call of God. We're talking about being the faithful steward of our responsibilities. Can we all agree that it's sometimes difficult to do what you absolutely know you ought to do on a regular basis? It can be sometimes very difficult. And sometimes, do you ever feel like quitting? You ever feel like just giving up, throwing in the towel? That's right. And sometimes we do that. I love the song that used to be sung years ago. Lester Roloff used to sing, I know part of it. It went something like this. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I've come here to stay. If I fall down, I'm going to get right up because I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I've come here to stay. The decree had been signed by the hand of the king, but Daniel still talked with the Lord. The hungry lions were pacing the den. Here comes supper, one roared. Then a little while later, the king looked in the den, and you heard old Daniel say, pull up a chair, boys, and have a seat, because I've come here to stay. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I've come here to stay. If I fall down, I'm going to get right up because I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I've come here to stay. The boys wouldn't bow, and the king got mad, and he said, turn the furnace up high. Tie him up and let's throw him in. Those Hebrew boys, they're going to fry. A little while later, the king looked in the flames and heard old Shadrach say, pull up your chair, boys, and warm your hands, because we've come here to stay. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I've come here to stay. If I fall down, I'm going to get right up, because I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I've come here to stay. And you know, we all face times, do we not? Not everybody that goes into the furnace comes out this side of heaven. Not everybody that goes in the lion's den comes out to talk about it. A lot of God's people over the years have gone to the lion's den and never came out to talk about it. A lot of God's people, even today, there are a lot of God's people in the Middle East and other places who are losing their life because of their faith. It can sometimes be very difficult to stay with it. And sometimes the most difficult time to stay with the will of God is when things are not going as you thought they would or you wish they would. or you think they should. When there's something in your life that isn't quite where you would like it to be. Now, let me ask you a question. Of the average 365-day year, how many days in the year do you think that everything in our life is exactly like we'd like it to be? Not very many, okay? And usually when they are, it's just parts of the day. That's how life is. I want to talk to you about the stewardship of your responsibility. Now, the first part of your outline is correct. And again, they ran other ones off. I'm not sure what happened, but just life happens, okay? But let's go ahead and write this down, okay? A working definition. I want you to understand this. We'll be going over this every time, each time, as we say this, okay? Accepting that all I possess and all that I am, okay, are temporarily placed in my care for the purpose of discovering, doing, and delighting in God's will. Okay? Now that is the truth. When I'm a steward, I am a steward of what I have. I'm a temporary owner. I don't have permanent possession of anything. And everything, by the way, that I own is temporary by nature, is it not? You ever had a brand new car? Or new to you, and you got it, and you say, man, this is so great, it only has a few thousand miles on it, maybe a few dozen thousand miles on it, whatever, and then if you have it long enough, what happens? It goes the way of all the flesh, and that's life. But I'm a steward. Now, tonight, we're talking about responsibilities. Let's go and get a working definition of responsibilities if we can. Okay, fulfilling your human obligations that are essential in order to experience the divine plan of God for your life. We're talking about fulfilling those human responsibilities I have and that you have, and we all have them, okay? Responsibilities to fulfill God's will for our life. The will of God requires a choice on my part. For us that are reading through the Bible, in 1 year, we're in the book of Joshua now, are we not? And it's a wonderful experience to observe how God works in their lives. But even as God has worked, they've made choices, have they not? Choices that have to obey God to a point and choices to not obey God all the way. And those choices they're making now in Joshua are going to come home to roost in the book of Judges. They're not doing what they ought to do and kicking out all the false teaching in Israel. But responsibility is stuff that I have to do, okay? I can't leave it all up to God. Now, let me just explain that phraseology. There's a mindset that says this: we should work as if everything depends upon us, and then pray as if everything depends upon God. And I understand the meaning behind that. I do. I respect that. I don't like it, but I respect it. Because the fact is, everything revolves around God. It's all up to God to do it. I understand the phraseology. I heard it for years in my life as a younger Christian and growing up and being prepared for the ministry. Everything rises and falls on leadership. I understand and I value the significance of what the phrase is trying to communicate, which is the importance of leadership. But if you read the Old Testament and you read the New Testament, you know that everything actually rises and falls on God. Now, God uses leadership, does he not? He does, to accomplish his will. We are going through the Bible in 1 year. We've been watching Moses the last numbers of weeks through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the last couple of months. And now Joshua, lead the people of Israel. Yes, God uses leaders, and God gives a responsibility, but God does it. But in saying that, we need to accept our responsibility. So in the few moments we have tonight, I want to give you some simple ideas and thoughts. In fact, there will be three of them to think about. Now, the other message you have, some of you have the outline for, is not a bad message, actually, from 2 Timothy. It really is. And up until about 3:15, it was all go. And then God changed it, so I had to listen to headquarters on that one. That happens sometimes. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen sometimes, as you can tell by the bit of notes I do have on here. This is a product of all week studying for this message and thinking about it and praying about it. And God hopefully give me something to help you as it has encouraged my heart to remember my responsibilities. Before you get started with it, though, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, okay? And look at verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not what? Wise. Now, folks, can we just accept the fact that we cannot use that standard for ourselves? How do I compare to other people? Because I am different, and God's call for my life is different. I told you this before, I mean, every time I tell you, some of you snicker about it, and I'm not sure why, but I've always viewed myself at some level as being a very quiet individual, an introvert, and being at times soft-spoken. And I know, but I have that vision of me, that I'm that way, and I am that way sometimes, usually when I'm asleep, but even then I have trouble Jordan Karen sometimes. But you know, you look at yourself a certain way, and some of it's accurate and some of it's not. But what we can't do is compare ourselves with those around us. Okay? When I was a teenager and I was called to preach, that was a real struggle for me because of my appearance, in part. When I was a young teenager, my whole head was one big pimple. Pardon the expression. That's just the way it was. If it ever broke, my brains would just flow out. I mean, it was just, that's the, I'm sorry. But that, my face was just that way. So much of that one Halloween, some of my dear friends got a big pumpkin and put it on the front yard and put a bunch of black dots on it and said, pimple face for Sunday. I always remember that particular Halloween, by the way. And but that's how bad my face, you know, it broke out because you ate chocolate. Now it just broke out because it broke out. I don't know why it broke, but that's the way it was. And then, you know, there's a reason why they gave me the sticky. I do some singing, but they don't let me sing all the time here, and that's probably wise. I remember being in the youth choir when I first got saved, and I was so excited about being saved. I didn't know you were supposed to actually try to get the right notes. I would just be in the youth choir, and I would just sing out. And one time I sang out that saved a rat like me, not a wretch like me, but I thought it was rat. So I said, rat, well, you know, that's all other teenagers need in the youth choir to just start laughing up a storm, which made me feel like wonderful, you know. And fact is, nobody ever measures up. Nobody ever measures up to other people. Because you can always find somebody that can do something better than you can or does it different than you do, okay? So I want to challenge you. I'm not challenging you tonight to be like somebody else, okay? Some of you are just never going to be real excited. You're just not going to do it. And some of you are never going to calm down. It's just the way it is. We're all different kinds of people. I mean, some of us make coffee nervous. I mean, we're so energetic at times. And others of you, really, if you actually breathed a little deeper, we would think you were alive. You know, that's just, that's how people are different. All in acknowledging the fact, we're different. And I can't compare myself with you. And you can't compare yourself with me and the person around you. I struggled with that in my younger Christian life for a long time. And even in ministry, I struggled for a long time. Try to understand, I could not compare myself with other people. I would go off to a conference for pastors or for church leaders, and I would come back thinking, that's the secret. And a lot of times they're sold that way. Let me tell you something, there is no secret but the will of God for your life. And I know of pastors who have ruined their churches, because they've gone off to a conference and they've got a sense that that's what they need to make, because the conference is usually at a larger church, and it's like, this is how you do it. And they go home and say, this is how we do it. The problem is, that's not that church. And you can't run life like that way. And you can't run your life that way. So I don't want to compare yourself with each other, but I do want to encourage you to compare yourself with some biblical principles tonight, okay? And here's the first one, okay? So if you would, I want you to write this down. Stewards, number one, okay? I want you to consider itemizing your responsibilities. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. If you're going to fulfill your responsibilities, you've got to itemize your responsibilities. What is my job in this? What am I supposed to do here? Okay? Now, in ministry, I can tell you that I knew a pastor one time. He was a good man, wonderful man, had a wonderful church, and had a church of a significant size, a bit larger than ours, actually quite a bit larger than ours. And he was still changing the light bulbs in the auditorium. Now, you say, well, the pastor's not above that. Well, he's not being above it. But really, I mean, he didn't have anybody else in his church that could change the light bulbs in the light, you know, so he could be doing what he could be doing. And so it became a problem for him. And you've got to be careful what you do. Now look at chapter 6, okay, of Acts. We've talked about this before. It's the story of the first deacons, called the first deacons. Verse 1, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because of the widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, here's a problem in the church. The problem is twofold. First of all, it's the cause of the problem in the sense that the widows are being neglected, and then one of the consequences of that is there's murmuring in church. Okay? Now, the temptation when you see something, a need, is this, okay? I've got to go. I got to do something about that. It's my responsibility. Well, it might be. It might be, but it might not be. Look at verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, they're not saying there that they don't care about the widows. And they're not saying there that they are beyond that or above that. Because the fact is, when I come in here tomorrow to do my obligations as pastor of the Stillwaters Baptist Church, and Brother Greg, who works for, say, North Carolina, and he goes and does his thing. Are you going to be on the boat tomorrow, brother? No. But if he was going to be on the boat, I guess he's going to be in the office. Whatever he does to make whatever he's supposed to have happen, okay, I really don't understand all that he does, but whatever he does, okay, that is just as much, okay, it's just as much the right thing and the eternal ministry God has given him there as God's given me here, okay? Now, we all have different responsibilities, okay? And we've got to make sure that we don't stop doing what we're supposed to be doing simply because there is another need someplace else. You know, if a pastor, for example, were to simply say, well, where there's a need, I'm going to go, he'd be like a ping. What's the game where you pull the thing down, the ball goes around, it goes beep, 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 beep. What's that game called? Pinball machine, yes. That would be the kind of life he would have. But he can't live that way because you can't live that way. What happens here is they wisely itemized, if you would, their responsibility. And what did that do? Now, here's what happens. Watch this, okay? A couple of things happen. Okay, look at verse 3. Look yet among you seven men of honest report. Look down at verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose, the seven men are listed. Okay? Verse 6. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, laid their hands upon them. Now, what's happening? These seven men now have a responsibility themselves to do, okay? But now watch this, okay? Look at verse 4. But we, that's the apostles, will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They are maintaining their responsibility while creating the avenue for other people to fulfill their responsibility. Now, if you're going to be a faithful steward of your responsibility, you've got to take time to define what that is for you. Okay? And even when we come up and say, okay, come, you know, you have to come and help us on Saturday morning. Well, of course we want you to come help us Saturday morning. But if you've got to work on Saturday morning or you have some other responsibility you can't get out of, then you got to do what you got to do. Okay? So if you're going to be a faithful steward, another way of saying this, and you may want to write this down, is you have to keep the main things in your life the main things. You cannot be sucked in to doing something about everything because you will do nothing well. and you will do not what God wants you to have you to do. Okay? Now, this requires a plan. It requires a plan that works for you. If you're a daytimer kind of guy or a Franklin kind of planner, or if you have some kind of program on your computer, whatever works for you. It's like your quiet time, okay? I don't have any dog in the fight of what kind of quiet time you use, whether it's a daily bread or whether it's something we have here at the church or whatever. Just use something that works for you. And if, all I'm saying is if you're not doing a program that works for you, if you're not fulfilling that responsibility for your life, then you got to look at it and say, why am I not doing this? What needs to change in my life so I can start doing this? Okay? If you're not doing regular Grow ministry, what do you do to fix that? Well, first of all, you got to pick a team. And you join that team and you go forward with it. You got to make those choices in your life. Number two, now itemize your responsibility. Oh, by the way, just while you're here, drop down to verse 7. Here's what happens when people itemize their responsibilities and fulfill it. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples were multiplied. What happens when Christians within God's family itemize their responsibilities and fulfill them, then the work of God can go forward. Okay? Second, define success. I want to ask you to look at two passages of Scripture. Turn to Matthew. This is a hard one, 25. And then find 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to encourage you tonight to define what success is. The one sport in high school that I really appreciated and enjoyed the most was wrestling. I enjoyed wrestling because for many different reasons. The coach was one of them. But other thing was you never had to worry about somebody else dropping the ball, you know, or missing a block. And when you're wrestling, you're one-on-one, and that's it. And now, you know, your responsibility. But success was clearly defined. If at the end of the match, if the match ends with a referee hitting his hand on the mat, and you're looking at the wattage of the light bulbs, you've lost. If you're checking out the wattage on the light bulbs when the referee goes like that, then that means you got pinned and you lost. Okay? At the end of the day, he holds you here, at least back then they did, and one of the hands they would hold up. If your hand is getting out, you've lost. Success was clearly defined. Now, there were parameters for that. Okay? I mean, you had to, if there wasn't a pin at the end of the match, you had to score more points than your opponent. If you were going to pin them, you had to pin them in the correct way. You couldn't like take a ball bat to the bat out to the thing and hit them. You couldn't do that. You had to do it the right way. Okay? You had to respond the right way. So, all of that. Now, what is success for a faithful steward of their responsibilities? Well, in Matthew 25, this passage about the stewards, verses 14 down to verse 30, conveys a lot of truths that are deep and broad and wide, and we're not going to talk about most of them. All we're going to focus on is the fact that in verse 15, it says, and unto one he, that's the master, gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and another he gave 1. Several ability, as ability, and straightway he took his journey. So he gives them all, the 5 and the 2 and the 1 talents, and he takes off. And you know the storyline, the guy with 5, he uses it and gets 5 more, the 2, and then the 1 guy, he gets nervous and he hides his. We're not going to talk about him right now. But what we're going to focus on is verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to, under defining your success, I might give you an A, B, and C if I could, okay? A is whatever you do, do it well. Whatever you do, do it well. If you're vacuuming the church, vacuum it well. If you're sing in the choir well. If you preach or teach, do it well. If tomorrow morning God's called you to be in math class at 8 o'clock or 8:30, then do it well. If you have homework tomorrow night, do it well. Tomorrow when you go to work, do it well. Do your job well. do it in a way that it ought to be done. Don't take the attitude, well, no one's going to see, no one cares. God sees and God cares. Do your job well. Fulfill your responsibility well. That is success, if I do it well. One sport that I did enjoy playing when I got out of high school and as a younger adult, and why I played it, I will never know. But for some reason, I went through a period of time in my 20s and 30s where I enjoyed playing this very unpleasant game, in my opinion. It's called basketball. And it's unpleasant because I couldn't play. You know, short, fat, white guy does not belong on anybody's basketball court. So I went down to the YMCA in downtown Raleigh, North Carolina, and they had a bunch of guys that played. And this is true. They had all the white guys played on this end, and all the people that weren't white played on this end. And there was a reason why they did it differently. Okay, I'm not sure of all the reasons, but one day we mixed everything up, and I figured out it wasn't for me. And the reason was, when you're playing against somebody that's 7 foot, okay, and you're a short guy like I am in comparison, and one that is held down by a significant force of gravity, okay, there ain't anything you can do about that. You can't compensate for 12-inch difference. All you can do is do well and put your body in the place to absorb the most pain you can handle and not try to foul intentionally. Okay? But there are things you can't make up for, but you can always do a good job. You always can do well at what you do. Second, letter B, always be faithful to the task. Be reliable. Take what you have and use it. Now, as a church, we are not unaccustomed to trying different things. And some of them work and some of them don't. I understand that. And yet, we're not responsible for the results of what we do, but we are responsible to be faithful to the call of God upon our life. This coming Thursday night, none of us on the Grow team this Thursday night are responsible for someone to be saved or someone to come next Sunday because of what we do Thursday night. But what we are responsible to do is to fulfill the Great Commission and to systematically seek to get the gospel out to as many people as possible. That's my responsibility. I was out visiting yesterday. Had a man promise me he was going to come here today. Now, we're supposed to have lunch tomorrow, so I'm going to see if he shows up for lunch tomorrow. But anyhow, just be faithful. You say, well, I'm tired of doing stuff and not seeing any results. Okay, I understand that. You're tired of trying to make things work and they do not work the way you want to. Okay, I understand that. So what's wrong, preacher? Nothing's wrong. Not if you're doing good stuff and you're being faithful to the itemized responsibility God has given you. Now, you turn to 2 Corinthians 10 and hold your place there and turn to a verse I wasn't planning on giving you, but turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I have to give this to you to follow up the comment I just made to you. I've known so many pastors. I had a pastor who pastored a very successful church in the shadows of a church running, I think, 5,000 to 7,000 every Sunday morning. And the church he pastored was doing a wonderful job based on the understanding I had of the ministry, and he was preaching the gospel. The church running 5,000 to 7,000 was a Bible-believing, independent, fundamental church. His is an independent, fundamental church. And he got so discouraged that by the time I saw him, he was simply selling insurance. Nothing wrong with selling insurance. So if you sold insurance or you knew something, but he was called the pastor. But he got discouraged and he quit. Because it just wasn't working out. Now I want to challenge you, okay, from Hebrews chapter 11, okay? I do want to challenge you. From verse, let's read verse 36. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Who are these people? These are good and faithful people who are serving God. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you. Sometimes you do good and faithful stuff and some cool stuff happens and you get all excited about it. That's wonderful and that's fine. But when you do good and faithful stuff and it falls apart, what do? You rejoice in the Lord and you keep going. I have to define success. If I don't, and there are countless people who used to be in the pasture today. By the way, there are countless churches who used to be really good, solid, fundamental churches that were just rock solid, who today, their place is hollow, both in numbers and in ministry, because they tried to be something that they weren't. They were trying to do something that God hadn't called them to do. You know, we are what we are. Doesn't mean we're complacent. Doesn't mean we don't try to be creative. It doesn't mean we're stuck in the rut. I mean, we're thinking about ways to improve even the Wednesday night service for those that are in the auditorium here. That's all fine and good. But the idea is when I'm good and I'm faithful, then that's enough. The letter C, by the way, write this down. Letter C. Is it good? Am I being faithful, reliable? Let us see. Do I have the confidence that I am pleasing God in this? Am I pleasing God? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm sorry, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. Wherefore we labor that rather present or absent, whether we're here or we're in heaven, we may be accepted of Him. We may please Him. If He is pleased with what I'm doing, what else do I need to stay faithful in what I'm doing? Do I have to have you say, good job? Now, is it ever encouraging when somebody says a positive thing about what you do? It does. Does it ever get discouraged if people don't respond in a positive way? It's certainly did. We had a very depressing lunch this week with somebody. It was depressing, and it just happened. I mean, it was like the Eeyore on steroids. That kind of thing happens sometimes. But the point is that you got to continue because you're seeking to please God. Letter three, write this down, okay? Continually adjust your thinking. Continually adjust your thinking. I'll give you one verse on this one. We'll be almost out of time. So I'll give you one verse on this one. Look at 2 Timothy. I had a number of them, but I'll give you one. We'll look at it. I may give you others just to write down, but 2 Timothy, if you would, please. Paul is speaking to a young man who is really struggling with confidence. And if you read the books of 1st, if you ever get discouraged in your ministry God's called you to do, just sit down and read 1st and 2nd Timothy in one sitting. And underline all the ways that Paul tries to encourage Timothy, all the things that Paul encourages Timothy to do, and you'll find a whole series of messages and truths to encourage your heart. But you have to adjust your thinking. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance. I'm bringing something to your attention, Timothy, that thou stir up, that you ignite, you keep aflame to the gift of God which is in thee. By the putting on of my hands. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Just stir up that gift in your mind. Adjust your thinking. This is God's call upon my life. And that's what makes it enough. And I've got to constantly bring my mind back to all the different areas that God's called me to. Now, you need to do the same thing. Tomorrow's Monday. School, work. You've got to do the will of God for your life. This week, you've got to do that. Then many of you work all day on Monday and all day Tuesday and all day Wednesday. And then you come here and you give yourselves for the young people in those ministries. God bless you for doing that. And sometimes you see results and sometimes you don't. I understand that. And that can be disheartening sometimes. But stir up the gift inside of you. Ignite it. Bring your mind back to what God has called you to do and adjust your thinking to this fashion. If it is the will of God, it's the only right thing for me to do. If I'm going to be a steward of all the different responsibilities God has given me and you too. As we close, let me ask you this question. Have you ever been weary in well-doing? Maybe tonight. You say, preacher, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm like minus 5. I am out of gas. You ever been that way? I mean, I've got to, you know, I'm trying to prepare for this 100-mile bike ride we're going to do that Greg and I are going to do maybe in May. Not sure about that, but I'm trying to get ready for it. I can tell you the last time I did 100 miles, the only time I've done it, I can tell you that when I got to, we left Hickory High School up in Virginia, and Brother Greg patiently hung with Karen and I, hanging with the old people until he got to the Wright Memorial Bridge, and he said, I'll see you in Manio, and he just zoomed, and that was fine. It was more than fine, because I knew my house wasn't too far away, so I knew, worst case scenario, I'm going home, you know. I'm telling you, when I drove up, and I saw the Dairy Queen sign on Collington Road, I said to myself, after 85 or 90 miles, I need a chicken sandwich. And I went in and I bought the biggest chicken sandwich they had, and I consumed it with a passion that most Italians reserve for pasta. And that's true. And it got me down to Whalebone Junction at the 7-Eleven. I went in there and they had this big eclair. And I'm the only person I know can ride a bike 100 miles and actually gain weight, you know. And so I got the eclair, and that got me over the causeway to Manio. All I'm saying to you is this, that maybe tonight I don't have a chicken sandwich for you. I have an eclair for you, but I have the Word of God. Can I encourage you to itemize your responsibility and say, you know, Lord, I'm getting frustrated because I can't do that, but that's really not my job to do that. Your calling for me is to do this and this and this. Now, if those people over here would respond, I could do these things, but they're not going to respond right now. So I can't do anything about that, but this is my itemized responsibility. Start defining success for you as doing it well, doing it faithful, and pleasing God. And let that be enough for you to take the next step tomorrow. Tonight when you go home. And then thirdly, adjust your thinking. Say, oh, I need to stir up that gift and with passion do my job. Stay focused on it and leave the consequences to Him. Let's pray. Father, bless these truths to our heart. I just pray, Father God, that you would encourage us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody here in your heart you say, preacher, I've been discouraged. I've been despondent. I've wanted to quit. Welcome to the club. There's not a believer in here that hasn't had that. But maybe tonight this message has found you at a place we need to make some responsive choices. So can I challenge you to make the choice right now? Just seated where you're at. One more, your public invitation, but right where you're seated, let's go through this very quickly. First of all, has God convicted you because you're accepting responsibilities that are not yours, and you're ignoring responsibilities that are yours? If that's your case in your heart right now, can you just pray and say, Lord, forgive me, just in your heart, between, Lord, forgive me for taking responsibility that you haven't given me. Forgive me for that. But also, Lord, forgive me for not taking the responsibilities I should be taking, and I want to begin tonight affirming my commitment to those responsibilities. Second, if you've been depressed and despondent and willing to give up because you found yourself a failure, I can understand that. I think most folks in here can. But will you allow those feelings of failure to stand in the light of the fact of, are you doing things well? Are you being faithful? Are you pleasing God? Now, if you're not doing those things, then you're not being successful. So if you're not pleasing Him, if you're not being faithful, you're not doing good work, right now confess that. Say, Lord, forgive me for not doing my homework. Forgive me for not paying attention in class or cleaning my room at home or obeying my mom and dad or being the right kind of person at work or here at church. Forgive me for not being faithful, reliable. Forgive me for not pleasing you. But if you're doing that, let that be enough for you tonight. And then finally, if you become a little less than committed to your responsibilities, adjust your thinking and say, Lord, tonight I want to recommit to each responsibility in my life, no matter how minimal it may be, how tedious it may be, from dirty dishes to dirty diapers to homework to my responsibility at Stillwaters to my giving, to my serving Him on Grow, whatever it may be, Lord, adjust your thinking. Father, work in each heart and life. Accomplish your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just sing.